This is Charlotte's home for sports talk. WZGB Cramerton, Charlotte. ESPN 730. Broadcasting from the ESPN 730 studios in Uptown Charlotte. And live on ESPN730.com. It's The Bottom Line with Lanny Ford and Al Gardner. Join the show by calling 704-332-0173. Now, here's Lanny Ford.
And a good Monday afternoon to you. Spring is here today. Well, almost. Don't take it that it's 32 degrees and freezing rain and sleet outside. Don't worry about it. Give it till Thursday to be 70 again. Welcome to North Carolina.
That's when spring hits, Thursday, right?
It's not going to be long. That's the official day. We are brought to you by Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Use Z-Max Micro Lubricant when you change your oil. Extend the life of your car's engine. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Big day planned for you here on Monday. Glad to have Al Gardner back in studio. You'll hear some promos coming up. We will be at the Davidson
Wine Shop, which is kind of right behind Fuel Pizza on South Main. My wife, as it turns out, is opening up a wine shop, and I asked Lanny, was it possible that we can do our broadcast from there? He said, absolutely. Sure. So this coming Friday, not only will we be on 3 to 4, but also The Pulse with Bobby Rosinski and Chris Allison. There'll be live music there, a keyboard guy. There's going to be a violinist there. A lot of good food, wine, prizes. And most importantly, we get to meet you. Face-to-face here on ESPN 730.
Hope you come on by. And a big day that we have here today, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, from the president of Belmont Abbey College, is here with us today. We had him on earlier, and he was gracious enough to make the track over here from Belmont to be on with us. We also have, where's Mother Sheet, Al?
I got it right here. Hang on.
There we go. Dizzy Grant from the Harlem Globetrotters will be with us at 3:30. As the Globetrotters will be in town at 1 o'clock this Saturday at Time Warner Arena. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or Arena Box Office, and we will have tickets to give away right here on ESPN 730. Dr. Thierfelder, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks so much, Al. I just greatly appreciate the time being with you here.
Oh, the privilege is ours. In your book, and we mentioned this when we had you on a couple of weeks ago, less than a minute to go. Basically, it talks about how you give your best when the clock is ticking. You cannot put this thing down. And I noticed over the weekend there was a good article in The Observer. I didn't get the gentleman's name who wrote it. But he was talking about how sports as a means to a higher end is something you teach, as opposed to rather than the end itself, that the win is the be-all, end-all. Did you happen to see the article in the Sunday paper?
I did, and it was actually, I think, both in the Raleigh paper and the Charlotte paper.
Oh, it was Raleigh as well.
Yeah, and sometimes I probably sound like the Don Quixote, you know, tilting at windmills kind of thing here, but I really believe that there's not a conflict between world-class performance and then virtue. And I think too often we accept the fact that to have really, really good athletics, we're going to have just, we got to take whatever we get. And I argue the point. I said, well, you know, why do we accept that that's the way it is? And I've always said that coaches should be teachers and mentors first. If they're not, that's where the problems really begin.
Now, the guy who wrote the foreword to your book got a technical over the weekend, didn't he?
He did. Now, again, I have to tell you, I didn't see it. I read about it.
It wasn't fair.
Okay. I mean, what I heard is that his back was to the court.
Coach K, we're talking about.
Yeah, his back was to the court. He tossed a pen or something, you know, towards the bench. From my standpoint, I don't get.
If you're on my timeout, it's on my dime.
Right.
Leave me alone. If I'm not facing you, if I'm not directing something at you.
Right.
Now, my wife will beg to differ with me. If we're having a disagreement and I say something off color just because I'm upset and I'm not directing at her, she takes it as I'm directing at her, so I guess I would get a technical in that situation. You know, I try not to, but, you know, I think that was a bad call. I think what you do inside of your timeout, you can say what you want to. Inside your locker room, you can do what you want to. That's your locker room. So I think that was a bad call, and I'm not going to talk about officials because I've been sworn to secrecy.
Right.
But I want to go back to your comment. When I coached high school sports, I always believed that there wasn't a reason why you could not get the maximum performance out of an athlete, but yet teach a life lesson.
Right.
I thought there was a bigger scope of what was going on with what you were doing.
Absolutely.
And what means more to me is for some kid that I coached to come up to me and say something about what I meant to them in their life, even if they didn't get a scholarship, even if they didn't go on, if they wasn't an all-conference player, but because they felt like I helped make them a better person because of the experience they had with athletics. And I don't understand why that still can't be. When I played late 70s, early 80s, I played for Danny Ford at Clemson. And I've had him on the show before. We've talked about it because it bothers me so much. When I went to Clemson, all I wanted to do was go to Clemson. If I was fortunate enough to make it to the next level, that was great. But all I wanted to do was go there and play. Now, 90% of the kids that go don't have that same goal. They're going there because they have to. That's their stepping stone to get to where they want to. I just think there's more to athletics, and especially when you talk about younger kids. I've got younger kids that are involved in athletics and travel softball and volleyball and different stuff. It's okay to teach winning because that's what life is about, but you need to teach some background and some basis for that as well.
And I'd argue that it's not just, hey, that's a nice extra on top of it. I'd argue that if you can make that happen, you've actually helped this athlete to be a truly better athlete. Not just a better person,
old school coaches
but an absolute better. Yeah.
Your old school coaches believe that. Your younger coaches today don't believe that. They think it's all about them and the X's and O's and the wins and the losses.
But why not? How did that happen? I agree with Lynn.
It's a generational thing because a lot of the younger coaches that are coaching today have changed their methodology of how they think. I'll give you an example. When I was coaching, parents that had kids that were my age, the parents were my age, I wanted to smack the parent because of the things they let their kid do because, hey, you weren't raised that way. What are you doing? You know that that's not right. That's not the way we were brought up. But they tend to forget. It's all about the other picture that has nothing to do with succeeding in life. And when you look at the percentage of athletes that are going to make it to the next level, it's so small. And if you got a mom, I've had to leave a batting cage before because if I didn't, I was going to whip a daddy that was beating on his 10-year-old verbally because he wasn't hitting the ball. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I can't deal with that.
We were in sports medicine earlier on in my life and I co-founded a physical therapy corporation. And I'd have parents come in. I'd have a dad come in and his 9-year-old has a tendonitis in his elbow because he's throwing curveballs. Physiologically, you're not made to do any of this stuff,
right?
You know? And so to force it along and think that you somehow can create a world-class athlete, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if you take the NFL as an example, take a look at NFL players. They are extraordinary human beings. I mean, there is something unique about every guy that plays in the NFL that is unusual. I mean, it's going to be his size, his speed. There is something that is way above anybody else. But the challenge or problem that I see is that very few coaches actually learn how to coach. In other words, how to actually help people with their skills, to master the skills and actually improve what they're doing. Too often it is all about the X's and O's. And then you're bereft of ideas. So all you can do is yell at people because they're not doing your X's and O's.
Dr. Thierfelder, you were a world-class athlete. Do you have a coach in mind that you still use sort of as your mentor? There was one guy who really connected with you, who taught you that it was more than just about the sport. It was about something bigger. Is there one person?
Yeah, this guy looked like an old sea captain. You know, his name was Joe Fox. He was my high school coach. And didn't know anything about high jumping, but this was a guy of character, and he demanded of you. He thought you were a man. I remember early in my high school, he'd say, "Thierfelder, go home and tell your mother not to throw out the baby with the bathwater." And at first, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. Throw out the baby with the bathwater? I mean, what he's basically saying is, you know what? I see something good in you, and we're going to try to get it out, you know, here over time. And he'd work with me, and he was very much a disciplinarian, and, you know, he really helped shape my life and direct, you know, where I was going, that I wouldn't have done that otherwise, you know, without someone like that in my life.
Did he get you to peak performance in those days?
Yes. Well, he challenged me to even see things I didn't know about myself. He always had a sense of what I was really capable. He had a picture in his mind of
but
what
you
I could
didn't
do.
Yet. You
no,
didn't yet.
I didn't. And as a matter of fact, I would have probably underestimated myself, which is what I find almost universally. I don't care what level people are at. They underestimate what they really can do. And so when you have somebody that helps draw that out of you, not just through the encouragement, but actually has the skills or the expertise to actually bring your best skills out. You know, confidence doesn't come because you say you have it. It comes because you actually demonstrated something. So if I can consistently throw a certain way or hit a certain ball or whatever it might be, then guess what? I have confidence because I know I can hit it because I actually can hit it. It's not reversed. You don't start off with saying, I'm going to have confidence and now I'm going to hit a ball. I mean, yeah. It doesn't work that way.
I'm the best. You go in the ring and get knocked out. You tell yourself something
yeah.
false.
Yeah, then when you're laying there and you finally come conscious, you realize maybe it's not all true.
We had a caller just a minute ago. Didn't want to come on the air. His name is Wes. Wes called. He just wanted to say that he wanted to make the point that coaches coach the way they do because the pressure to win is greater than if they don't win, they get fired. And that's exactly right. The life cycle of coaches today has come so short. Who just got Virginia Tech's coach got fired today? What's his name, Stewie?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't even develop your recruiting class in 2 years in any sport in college to be able to do that. So he didn't get that. He didn't get the benefit of being able to do that.
But at that level, though, we are really talking business. This is about money. It's about making money, and it's like, if I don't get you turn the business around like really quickly, we're moving on.
James Johnson.
That's right. That is correct. And, go back to the high school level like you were talking about. I'll give you another example. As I said, I played high school ball mid to late 70s. My dad was a very big supporter and an old ball player himself. And one of the other things that happened is I never knew when I was in school for a long time, he wasn't that crazy about my head coach. Didn't like some of the things he did. But what he did do or didn't do, he never said anything to me about it. Mm-hmm. He never said anything to the coach about it. As long as that coach wasn't physically or verbally abusing me,
right.
Then that was his call.
Yep.
And
it's part of the lesson, too.
Now the parents are the first one to start screaming, well, my kid's better than that kid. I've told Al about the story of JV basketball. I had a mama pin me at halftime. Why did my son start? I mean, I got the kids around me. We're coming out of the dressing room. He's better than they are. I've seen him play in the backyard. He's much better than they are. And I'm like, well, when he shows me at practice on this court, he can start.
What he's doing in the backyard.
I said, but here's the deal. He's playing as much. He was six man. I said, he's playing as much as the guy that he's replacing. He's just not starting. I think he's a better player coming off the bench. And until he shows me otherwise, that's the way we're going to stay. And you can question why I'm not playing your kid. And I'll explain to you. And my practice is open. I mean, that, I think there has to be transparency there for you to do that. One of my high school coaches, I'm still very good friends with him. I always loved all of my coaches that I played for. But they tried to bring out, as you said, what's in you because they knew the end result of bringing out what you did best and giving you that confidence would benefit the team
Absolutely.
Instead of the other way around. Right. And that's not the way it is. Now so many coaches think they know what it's all about. You just need to do it my way instead of making sure that that person is being driven from the inside.
Right. And again, it's something that coaches, it's kind of an insidious relationship if you think about it. Athletes come out, if they didn't get it from their coach, they don't have that experience, they now go on to become coaches. You can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
So if you haven't learned these things, and I think we've lost a lot of the great old-time coaches who were really good. Now, they weren't perfect people.
And they were hard
men. They were hard men, and sometimes you didn't like them.
Yeah.
But, there was something about what they brought out of you and what they helped you to achieve. And sometimes you did it maybe despite them, But the point is, it this all counted. This all mattered. Today,
when Lombardi said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing, we still have that hangover, don't we? I mean,
I was going to say, from a pure sports performance standpoint, though, the winning doesn't make you win. It's focusing on what it takes to win, and the byproduct is you win.
You've got to have the desire, and the confidence inside will produce the
win. And the
wins.
Mastery. You've got to be able to master skills. Mm-hmm. If you can actually master something, you're going to win.
That's right. Let me take a time out. We'll be back with more here with Dr. Bill Thierfelder, Al Gardner, and myself. I'll tell you about my sophomore film study, where I was something on the bottom of an ocean that came from a whale, right here on the bottom line. ESPN 730 and ESPN730.com.
ESPN 730 Charlotte, your home for national, regional, and local sports talk with Mike and Mike, The Herd with Colin Cowherd, The David Glenn Show, The Pulse, and The Bottom Line. Your home for Charlotte sports. ESPN 730. From the ESPN 730 studios in Charlotte, this is SportsCenter.
The Charlotte Bobcats look to stay hot tonight as they host the Atlanta Hawks at Time Warner Cable Arena. The Cats, fresh on the win yesterday in Milwaukee, look to get their record back to 500 with a win over Atlanta. Right now, the Hawks have won the first two against Charlotte this year. Bobcats currently 7th in the East. Hawks are 8th. Tip scheduled for 7-10. Carolina Panthers slowly joining the free agent market, and they have wide receiver Jericho Cotri in town for a visit today. According to media reports, Cotri, an NC State product, turns 32 in June. Virginia Tech has fired men's basketball coach James Johnson after just 2 years. He went 6-30 in the ACC. 22-41 overall. And David Scott of the Observer's reported that the Wells Fargo Championship will be held at Quail Hollow through 2019, with the lone exception 2017, when the course hosts the PGA Championship. Wilmington's Eagle Point Club will host the tournament that year. For ESPN 730, I'm Bobby Rosinski.
Call 877-OXI-FRESH. OxyFresh. That's let us do the work for you. OxyFresh. Carpets look so fresh and new. OxyFresh. We're the best, dries in an hour. Oxygen provides the power. OxyFresh, safe for kids and pets. The world's greenest carpet cleaner. Call 877-OXI-FRESH. OxyFresh.
Nestled in the historic Myers Park community, just a few minutes from Uptown Charlotte, Queen's University of Charlotte has provided students with transformational experiences for more than 155 years. With robust study abroad and internship programs, undergrad and graduate students thrive in and outside the classroom in academic programs across the liberal arts, sciences, and professional fields of business, communication, nursing, health, and education. Featuring 19 highly competitive athletic teams, Queen's is also a proud member of the NCAA South Atlantic Conference. For more information, visit queens.edu.
Darren Gant joining us on the Pulse on ESPN 730 from Pro Football Talk. The front seven on the defense is all back. Can that mask these deficiencies at all of these other positions, the fact that that front seven is back intact?
Well, I mean, and that's what got them to 12-4 this year. They didn't win the NFC South because of Captain Munnerlyn and Drayton Barnes and Mike Mitchell. You can go find a Drayton Barnes and a Mike Mitchell off the street this year the way they found those two guys last year.
ESPN 730 Charlotte, your home for national, regional, and local sports.
Here's an urgent bulletin from the Precision Repair Network, your motorized wheelchair specialists. If you're in the market for a new motorized wheelchair, you need to listen to this. Due to a recent closeout sale, we've purchased thousands of motorized wheelchairs at huge discounts. And now we can pass the savings on to you at prices never seen before. In fact, so low that we can beat any advertised motorized wheelchair price by $100. We'll even include free delivery and setup and free service on your motorized wheelchair for 1 year. So now is the time to upgrade your current motorized wheelchair. Don't wait. Get the lowest price anywhere from the Precision Repair Network. Call 800-296-1302, 800-296-1302, 800-296-1302, 800-296-1302. That's 800-296-1302.
The atmosphere is electric with spinning, yoga, bar tone, cardio, and swimming. The YWCA Central Carolinas has something for everyone. They have a co-ed fitness center, swim and group exercise classes, personal training, and more. Take a fresh look at fitness at your Central Carolinas YWCA. Call 704-525-5770 or visit their website at www.ywcacentralcarolinas.org.
And welcome back to the Bottom Line here on a Monday afternoon. Charlotte Observer is reporting sleet and snow falling north of Charlotte as we speak. The good doctor said that he had some sleet pellets coming over here from Belmont. Winter just won't go away, but maybe back up in the 70s by Thursday. We're brought to you by Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Remember, Z-Max Micro Lubricant, when you change your car's engine to extend your car's engine life. Al Gardner, Dr. Beryl Therfelder is in the house. I'll tell my story quickly and then we'll move on. When I was a sophomore in high school, back in the day, because I'm old, all of our film work was done with 8mm. After the game, they'd take the film down to the bus station, they'd bus it to Charlotte, get the film turned around, and we had the old black and white projector, you know. And we were watching film. We were watching film, because you always watch film on Monday. And I was a sophomore, just a kid, big kid, but I was just a kid. My high school coach, who's deceased now, loved him to death. He was an All-American at NC State, Dennis Byrd. Played for the Boston Patriots. He was a star in Lincolnton. And Coach Byrd was our high school coach, and he took it so serious. I mean, really serious. But he was the kind of guy, kind of like I am my kids. I can ream you out and in 5 minutes hug you. And, you know, my wife hates that because my kids will take that because we got our point across. It's over. I don't hate you for life. Right. We just had to make the point. So, anyway, we're watching film, and we get to a point, and I did not make a good play. And he proceeded to tell me that I was crap, but not in those terms. A little more visual.
Graphic? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, Wes, run that back again. You know, you run that back, and he sees it again. No, you're not. You're whale crap. You're whale crap on the bottom of the ocean. Get out of here. I don't even want to see this anymore. So we hit the field. So
this is in front of the whole team. Everybody's here.
Oh, yeah. So here we go. We load up. We head outside. So the next week, we're watching film. And I had worked my way up from whale crap to just regular crap.
What a goal.
But the thing of it was,
at least you knew the scale.
I didn't take anything personal, and it's a great story. But I didn't take that personal. I remember telling my dad about it.
Did it help you?
Yeah. I mean, it motivates you. Really? I think, but now kids aren't motivated by that. Kids don't like to be challenged now. They just want to be told how good they are. They don't want to be challenged.
But see,
Back then, you were challenged to do something, and you responded.
Right.
If somebody told me I couldn't do something, then I worked my tail off until I could.
But right. Suppose yeah. review were, listen, you are not whale crap. You're wonderful. But that play was, and you're capable of much more.
I knew that it wasn't directed personally at me. I knew that it was directed at my play.
Because I think there would be those, perhaps me, yeah. you know, somebody like me, who would take that personally and really, you know, have a hard time with that. I don't know.
I have to tell you, and everybody has different styles, I've never yelled at an athlete.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Oh, I have. I've crawled inside their face mask with love. Now, I've done it with love.
I believe that. My style, though, or way of approaching this is I have a good eye for seeing things. And I see motion, I see movement, I see forces really well when I watch somebody move. And so the bottom line is, that person, when you were not doing what he wanted you to do, right? You weren't trying to do that on purpose. You weren't saying, hey, let me see if I can really mess up here and get this coach right. really ticked off. That's I mean, right. you were doing your best. You yeah. were trying, right? Now, he was doing his best too. But he didn't know how to help you to know what you did.
That's correct.
And if you don't know what you did, you can't change.
So how would you have handled it differently?
Well, I would have asked him first what happened on that play. And you'd be surprised. When you ask an athlete that, usually it's like, they don't know. It's like a blackout. Yeah. They have no idea. Yeah. So I'd give you some feedback. I'd say, well, here's what I saw. You did da-da-da-da. And I'd show you very precisely, exactly, here's your hand motion, here's your movement, whatever it was, right? And you would have gotten it. And now, next time you went, I'd be asking you again, what happened on that play? You'd say, well, that was my elbow. I thought, yeah, my hand didn't come through. Whatever it was,
right.
you would now start to be able to feel what you did. You cannot, without awareness, you can't change.
Yeah. Now, the difference was when I would crawl inside a face mask, it was when a kid deliberately did something they knew not to do.
That's different.
It was not if you missed a block because you slipped, you didn't get there. I'm going to bring you to the side. Hey, look, here's what we got to do. We can't do that. We've got to do this. But when you do something that I've deliberately told you not to do, then I bring you in.
What do you say? What does a coach like you say at that moment? What happens inside that face?
My wife can tell you this.
He just said, really? He just said, please don't do that.
My wife can tell you this. The stands would go quiet when I would bring a kid over, and they would get turned where their back was to the stands because there was nobody that had a doubt what I was saying. But I did not use colorful language because
good.
I knew that.
Good you know, for you.
Yeah. I may use colorful language just when I'm by myself, but I would just be, you can't do that. You're killing me, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sit down. And that's, you know, put them on the bench. Yeah. And then once I calmed down and got composure, I'd go over. Now, do you understand? You can't do that to us.
Now, see, if he did it on purpose, Dr. Thierfelder, you would have done the same thing.
I wouldn't have. I still probably wouldn't have yelled at that person because
you would have said, "Sit down."
Well, think about this. No,
I would have.
Think about this. I don't have to. I guess what I'm saying is, I don't have to be emotional about it.
Yeah.
I can just be objective about it. You don't want to play for me. That's okay. Yeah. Nobody said you had to play. You could sit over there. Matter of fact, you don't even be on the team.
You know what I want to know? That's a great story, by the way. There's so many lessons that I could really am kind of in the middle. Andre Williams is a Heisman finalist who was the leading rusher in the NCAA. He is primarily a running back, but he needed some help on how to catch a football, the wide receiver part of that.
Right.
He came to you a couple of weeks ago. You took him out on the field and you trained him. I want to do two things with this. One, that's a great story. And I want you to take us to that moment when you meet him, you go to the field. What do you say to him? How do you motivate him to perform greater than what he's capable of doing? You know, first off. And secondly, how does that contrast with a high school? You can't talk to an Andre Williams the way you would a high school player. Or can you?
In a way, you can. I mean, they're different. Obviously, they're different levels and different understanding.
But what was that like?
Well, Bobby Brown, who played at Notre Dame, he was captain of the football team there, wide receiver, played for the Browns for a couple of years. He had met somehow Andre at one of the awards ceremonies, and he had watched him at the combine. At the combine, he dropped a couple of balls, and some of the others were body catches and so forth. And so the NFL, as you know, I mean, boy, are they quick to label you. So as soon as they see something like that, oh, well, you can't catch.
Yeah, no hands.
And it turned out he had no receptions this past year. They didn't throw him the ball. So on top of that, he had no receptions. Then they look at him and say, well, you dropped some balls, so you can't catch. That's probably why they didn't throw to you,
but
right?
But nobody ever taught him at that level of his career.
No, that's what's amazing.
Well, you'd be surprised how many of these athletes do not get taught basic fundamentals.
That's right.
I'm talking about all the way from middle school, high school. Yep. They're not getting a fundamental background.
But they're unbelievably talented.
It's because they have so much athletic ability.
Yes.
If they can just get enough out of them to accomplish what they want, they forget about the foundation.
But he's been swinging out of the backfield, getting open since junior.
Well, he ran almost 2,200 yards last year for BC. So anyway, he comes in and he says to me, look, I just haven't done a lot of receiving, and I want to do everything I possibly can. You got to give this guy credit. I mean, he was, you know, he's the one that contacted me to say, I heard you can help me with this. I'm looking for some help. Can we get together? So he came up from Atlanta. He was staying down there. He came up to Belmont Abbey College, and they're probably wondering, what am I doing with a football, like in a gym with this guy, you know? who is this guy? We don't even have a football team at Belmont Abbey College, you know? And so the first thing I did is, it's really funny, I do these little ball drills I just developed a long time ago with the receivers I've worked with over the years. And it's not the ball drill, it's how you do the ball drill. And it comes down to your focus, your energy. For example, a wide receiver doesn't drop a ball usually because they can't catch. They drop a ball for a specific reason. They either didn't have energy in the hand greater than the ball. So when you hear people say you have soft hands, that doesn't mean you give with the ball and then it shoots through your hands. Soft hands means, actually, I've taken the ball faster than the ball's coming in. If it's coming at 65 miles an hour, I've taken the ball at 75 miles an hour, which is why it sticks then in my hand.
And I've eased it.
And you watch it actually freeze in your hand. So you're staring at the cross, which is the seams on that football coming in at you. And I did these ball drills with him, and what was remarkable in 2 days. So he had a pro day on March 12th, and actually ESPN, I think, picked it up, Sports Illustrated did. But he had all these criticisms at the combine about his catching. So he went into his pro day after I only spent like 4 hours with him, but he picked up fast and he worked on him and everything. He went in there and bam, hand catching, like everything, and like they were thrilled with him. And then after that, there were 29 teams there looking at him. They all said, oh, there's no issue now with the catching. So, you know, but it goes to show that that wasn't something that he couldn't do. That was just something, like to your point, he just, nobody ever spent the time with him on those details.
We've got a guy coming up. I got to take a break. Dizzy Grant's going to come in. He's with the Harlem Globetrotters. He's another one. But if you watch the Globetrotters and the things that they do with the basketball, it's focus. I mean, it really is. Right. Anybody can do it with enough focus and concentration, but these guys have mastered it. Dizzy Grant, up with the Harlem Globetrotters next, and then we'll start. we'll go back. I want to follow through on what you talked about. You're listening to The Bottom Line, ESPN 730 and ESPN730.com.
It's bow time at Bojangles. Hurry in now to get a Cajun Filet Biscuit combo with seasoned fries and a legendary iced tea, now just $3.99. A perfect meal for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Bojangles. It's bow time.
Here's your ESPN 730 traffic report. I'm Joe Larson. 85 southbound, everything clear now. All lanes are open. That earlier accident between Graham Street, exit 40, and Statesville Avenue, exit 39. Again, 85 southbound, all lanes are open. No problems, 77, 485, or Independence Boulevard. Have a collision to the east on Harris Boulevard near Albemarle Road. Also in Dilworth, clearing up East Boulevard at Scott Avenue. BobMayberryHyundai.com. That's where Hyundai buyers all over the metro go for the best Hyundai prices and Hyundai assurance. Bob Mayberry Hyundai, just a short drive from I-485. ESPN 730, your source for national, regional, and local sports coverage. Charlotte's home for sports.
Stay up to date with ESPN 730 all the time online at ESPN730.com. With the latest news, scores, plus interviews located in the audio vault. With guests from both the bottom line and the pulse. ESPN 730 is also on Twitter. At ESPN 730, giving you the latest information with the Charlotte sports scene. Plus, follow at Bobby Rosinski and at CAllison 730 for information and opinions. ESPN 730 Charlotte.
Introducing Mobile Deposit on the Park Sterling Bank mobile banking app. Now you can deposit your checks wherever you are. Our mobile app allows you to securely view account activity, make deposits, view recent check images, view your balances, locate a branch or ATM, and more. To learn more, visit the Park Sterling Bank office closest to you or go to parksterlingbank.com. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender. App is available for download via the App Store and Google Play. App is available for personal accounts only.
Hey, sports fans, I'm Bryce Johnson, and I'm the host of Unpacking It, a fast-paced, integrity-based sports show. Join me as I unpack the week in sports from a faith perspective and look at the world of sports through a different lens. I interview intriguing guests and allow them to talk about what's most important to them. Find out more at unpackingit.com.
Tune in every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. right here on ESPN 730 and ESPN730.com, Charlotte's home for sports.
Hi, this is Carrie Howell, Executive Director of the Hospitality House of Charlotte. Hospitality House has been providing lodging to families in medical crisis since 1985. We're located in the heart of Charlotte, and we are here for families battling cancer, a transplant, cardiac issues, or even a traumatic event. For more information or to support Hospitality House, call 704-376-0060. Check out our website, hospitalityhouseofcharlotte.org.
That cat coming down the street.
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that different man with the bone.
Sure had himself a ball.
Welcome back to the bottom line. Lanny Ford, Al Gardner, Stuart Davis.
How you doing?
Behind the glass. Dr. Bill Thierfelder and Dizzy Gratt from the Harlem Globetrotters. We were just talking. Dizzy's a young man being with the Globetrotters. But Dizzy, tell us how you got your start with the Globetrotters.
Well, I'll give you the long story.
I went
to see the Harlem Globetrotters when I was 7 years old. My parents took me and my brother to go see them, and had never seen basketball, never heard of the game.
Didn't play it. Wow.
And went to the game, and I can remember, like it was yesterday, sitting in the crowd being in awe of what those guys were doing with the basketball. And my parents ended up buying me a ball from the merchandise stand that night, and didn't even have a basketball hoop at home, but it ended up working out because I was playing with the ball in the house and breaking too many lamps. So my mom said, we got to get this boy a hoop outside. So it worked out, but I played all through high school. I ended up playing in college at a school called the College of New Jersey. And come out of college, I said, you know, I want to play professional basketball one day. And I went down to Florida to kind of like a basketball combine for players that want to go play overseas. And the Globetrotters had a scout there. And they approached me and said, hey, how would you like to, you know, come try out for us? And you know, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities, how you turn it down. So here I am 8 years later.
What did they see in you? Was there an entertainment component or your personality or something they noticed that they wouldn't have approached somebody else?
Well, I think that had something to do with it. You know, when we look for new talent, you know, we look for guys that can play basketball at a high level but also kind of have that personality. And, you know, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I like to have fun. But I think one of the main reasons why they picked me was because of my shooting ability.
Yeah. And now Saturday, I think, at the Time Warner is when you guys are playing, right?
That's right. We'll be here at 1 o'clock, and fans, come on out, have a good time. You know, it's one of the few forms of entertainment you can bring the whole family to. You know, bring the kids, bring the grandparents. You can bring the dog if you want to and have a good time.
Now, let me ask you, do y'all just have one traveling team now?
Well, we have 28 total players, and we break that off into three units. So right now, we have a team that's over in Germany right now that do about a 50-game European tour over there, and then we have two teams here in the States.
I remember when I was younger and watched when we were talking about it off the air, they would come through the old Charlotte Coliseum, Bojangles or whatever it's called now, and then you'd usually see them on ABC's Wide World Sports, which has been gone for a long time. But I remember there were two teams, and you always wanted to see the Metal Arc Curly Neal team.
Yeah.
And, of course, Curly Neal was from here in Charlotte, went to Johnson C. Smith University. But the things that these guys could do with the basketball was absolutely amazing. And we talked about it. What Dr. Thierfelder helps with is athletes that they don't understand how much they can accomplish until they learn how to control in their mind and focus. And that's what you guys do, because it's just a matter of being able to control what you're doing.
That's right. You know, we play, I mean, probably about 250-plus games a year. You know, so to be able to do what we do, you do have to have, you know, focus and, you know, just understanding how your body works. Like, we left home Christmas morning, and we won't get home till April 29th. We'll play 200-plus games in between then. So, you know, it's very important that, you know, we understand what we have to do and then take the necessary steps, you know, with our body and our mind to make sure we can achieve what we want to.
Do you guys practice?
Oh, yeah.
With a schedule like that, you still can work and practice because the passing alone requires.
So we have a game at 1 o'clock on Saturday. We'll get to the gym probably about 10 o'clock, and we'll practice for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
What do you practice most?
Well, now it's kind of late in the season, so we've kind of got everything down, you know, but mostly ball handling, you know, doing the tricks, make sure your passes and everything are crisp and all your ball handling's in tip-top shape.
But to be able to do it, it's got to be incredible focus. I mean, because it's a timing thing. So much of what you guys do is timing.
Yeah, and you can tell when, you know, that's, you know, a little insight to the Globetrotters. When there's a new guy out there, they don't even quite understand the timing of everything. You can usually point them out.
Yeah. What's your favorite trick?
My favorite thing to do? You know what? I'm going to be plain and simple as spinning the ball on the finger. You know, it's something that is simple as it
seems.
Camera
one, zoom in. Can you do it?
Oh, yeah.
You do it right here.
Oh, yeah.
Do it right here. All right, Dr. Thierfelder, there you go. Look at this. Give us a play-by-play.
Well, I mean, part of it actually to be able to do that is kinesthetic. It's called kinesthetic awareness. And what that basically means is that he feels his body in space extraordinarily well.
Look how Logan's going.
I know.
It's on his head now.
Yeah, but that takes an incredible development of your motor control to be able to do that. So actually, when you're practicing, you're not just generally practicing throwing a ball around. I mean, there's a precision to what you're doing, and you can feel the subtlest differences in terms of how the ball comes off your finger. If it came off a fraction to the inside of your finger, you would feel it. Fraction to the outside, you'd feel it. That's a level of mastery that most people never get to.
Yes.
It's funny he says that, you know, because we realize it sometime, but we don't think about it. You know, it's second
nature. We don't have to now.
But, I mean, believe me, when I got on the team, I didn't know how to do anything. Spinning that ball on my finger was a challenge.
How long did it take you to learn to do that?
It took me a good 3 months of just practicing every single day to get that down. To feel, you know, where I'd be comfortable, you know, to do in front of people without breaking.
To Dr. Thierfelder.
Well, it was like
mastery.
Andre Williams, when he came in, one of the coaches asked him was, can you juggle? I said, I can teach you juggle right now, you know. So I started to show him, but it was amazing at first. I mean, he couldn't juggle. I mean, you don't know what to do, where the ball's going. Within 2 days, he's juggling.
Juggling,
you
know, so two balls? Three?
Three balls. Two balls. Then two balls with one hand, three balls with, you know. Yeah.
So
and it's not that hard.
The other thing is some of the shots and stuff that you guys do, it's muscle memory. I mean, you've mastered it to where, as you're saying, you know when you're just a fraction off because you do the feel.
Right.
Same thing with golfers. I mean, it's the same thing on swing. They know exactly when they don't do something right because they can feel it. They've got that kind of condition and control over their body.
And you're exactly right. Another thing that we practice so much, we always like to say, you know, if you practice hard, you know, when you get in the game or you get in front of people, it's going to be easy compared to how hard you practice. So, you know, we shoot so many like half court shots, you know, stuff like that. We're so used to doing so much in practice, you know, it's. When we get in the game, okay, well, this is nothing. We did these shot 200 of these, you know,
but
2 hours ago.
You think of the musculature it takes to throw a half-court shot. You do a lot of training, too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. You guys are athletes.
We
actually incorporated something to our show called the four-point shot 4 years ago, which is 35 feet away from the basket. It's 12 feet further than the NBA line, so it's quite a heave. And I never will forget when they first showed us where we were going to be shooting from in practice. And my first 10 shots, I mean, I didn't hit anything. The only thing I hit was the floor. And I remember saying to myself, like, there's no way we're going to make that. There's no way. It's too far. And now, here I am 4 years later, I go home and play pickup with some buddies back at home. And they can't believe how far away I shoot.
I got to ask you the same question I asked Dr. Thierfelder, who, by the way, jumped 7 feet 4 and a quarter inches.
Wow.
and set the Maryland record. And he's a world-class athlete, of course. And I asked him, as a former, I was involved in boxing a little bit, and there were days you climb in the ring and you feel like, I don't belong here. This guy's going to kill me. And I asked him whether or not he saw that 7'4¼" ever and thought, oh, there's no way I can do this. He said the opposite. He said it always seemed low to him. And when he cleared the 7-foot bar, he was disappointed at that point because it had already been there mentally so many times. My question to you, do you ever go out and think to yourself, all right, now the Time Warner Arena is packed. Everybody's here. They're all watching me. I know I'm going to regress. I'm not going to be able to do this trick.
There have been days, you know, some days.
Really?
You have long travel days and, you know, 35 feet, like four-point shots, 35 feet wherever we go. But some days you walk in the gym, you're like, man, are you sure that's 35 feet?
That's a lot further.
But like I said, it's just we practice so much and we take a lot of pride in what we do and what we're able to do. So, you know, I always like to say, and, you know, playing sports, you know, it's the mental part of it that, you know, a lot of times that as athletes you have to kind of overcome. The physical part is the easy part to me. It's the mental part.
You can make your body do the physical part.
Exactly.
The mental part, you've got to get the mental conditioning to be able to do
that. That's what your book's all about.
And you look at world-class athletes, you know, whether it's the NBA or, you know, Major League Baseball or football, you look at, you know, the upper echelon versus, you know, the guys who are kind of on the board, and that's what, you know, separates them, I think, is, you know, having that mental toughness and that perseverance.
It's also the attention to detail. In other words, when people talk about being in the zone, sometimes that's this nefarious, you know, what is this thing, this zone? It's attention to detail. The more detail you become absorbed in, the more perfect you'll be. So, for example, all the shots you've taken, I mean, you have such a feel for what you're doing. It's just really reproducing the feeling, over and over reproducing the feeling. So to the degree you're absorbed in that present moment, seeing the details of what it takes to do this particular thing right now, so seeing the rim feel in your body, that's as good as it gets.
I always wonder about golfers, for example. Great golfers who are out there play at the college level, but to be that pro who can stay on the tour all the time, you have to have that mental level, I guess, the acceptance.
What's
that
my
you
saying,
in.
Al? The longest distance in sports is the 6 inches between your ears.
longest distance in sports.
Once you master that 6 inches, you can just about anything that you want to.
You're right.
You're a married guy. Is it tough to be on the road with a family?
It's challenging, but, you know, me and my wife, we make it work. You know,
she travels with you.
Every once in a while, if we're in the city long enough, she'll come out to visit. But, you know, I enjoy what I do, and she's extremely supportive, just like the rest of my family. And we both realize that the opportunity that's been presented to me, it doesn't happen, you know, too often in a lifetime. So
you can trot the globe.
Trot the globe, and, you know, have opportunity to meet people for 2 hours out of their lives, and they never forget it.
So I'm going to tell you, I'm very impressed with the man you come across. You got your head screwed on straight.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, we talk about that in here when you're coaching and other things, being able to bring something else to the table besides just the sport itself. And it sounds like that you do that. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Oh, well, thank you.
Globetrotters, you can see Dizzy Grant this Saturday, 1 o'clock, Time Warner Cable Arena. We'll have tickets to give away this week. You can get them at tickets@ticketmaster.com. or at the Arena Box Office. Dizzy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
We'll take a timeout. Be back with more here on The Bottom Line, ESPN 730 and ESPN730.com.
Forecast from the ESPN 730 Weather Center. Cooler for this afternoon. We do see a bit of rain at times into tonight. High at 49. Rain could freeze in a few spots. Late low of 31. Rain will continue into tomorrow before it tapers off by the afternoon. High at 39. Low 36 tomorrow night. A passing shower. Otherwise, cloudy on Tuesday, high at 46. That's your latest AccuWeather.com forecast.
Class is back in session on the mountain, and that means spring football practice is set to resume. I'm David Jackson, and this is your Monday trip around the mountain.
Around the mountain, a daily look inside at state athletics.
Touchdown, black and gold! Home game at the Rock! Mountaineers win it!
Presented by the Yosef Fund. Providing scholarship support for Mountaineer student-athletes.
App State's transition to the Sun Belt means there's a new energy surrounding the 2014 Yosef Club Spring Tour. Join us in April as we crisscross the App Nation with news of our new home and how you can feel even closer to the excitement than ever before. Head football coach Scott Satterfield headlines each event as we help promote scholarship and fundraising support for all 20 of our Mountaineer programs. Check out AppStateSports.com for a list of dates and stops in your area. the 2014 Yosef Club Spring Tour. And remember, App Nation, together we rise.
Visions of spring break quickly evaporate from students' minds today as the near freezing temperatures and wet conditions are a far cry from what most found last week. Some might call this football weather, which would make for an appropriate backdrop for the resumption of spring practice today at the Rock. The Mountaineers have 11 workouts remaining in their month-long workout calendar, which culminates in the annual spring game set for April 4th at the Rock. As the team gets back to work, more attention will be paid to the ground game, especially in the trenches, where offensive line coach Dwayne Ledford is working with the fullest complement of offensive linemen he's had in the group in his three seasons on the Mountain. Also, today marks Pro Day on the Mountain, as NFL scouts will be on hand to get an up-close look at the Mountaineers' departing talent, headlined by receivers Tony Washington and Andrew Peacock. The scouts will time the group in a variety of running and agility drills, as well as chart their weight room performance. More details on the day's activity will be posted later today at AppStateSports.com. This is Around the Mountain on the Appalachian IMG Sports Network.
The Mountaineers are heading to new heights in 2014.
Official invitation to join the Sun Belt Conference effective July 1, 2014.
Season tickets for the first Sun Belt installment of Mountaineer football are on sale now at AppStateSports.com. Payment plans are available, offering you more freedom to gear up for the exciting season ahead.
15 to the 10-5 touchdown, Black and Blue.
Get your 2014 App State football season tickets today at AppStateSports.com.
Diamond events for the App State baseball and softball teams were washed out yesterday. The baseball Mountaineers earned a split in the College of Charleston tournament, falling to Michigan 4-3 Friday, while blanking Kent State 8-0 Saturday. The softball team beat Syracuse and Boone Friday and split their doubleheader action with Chattanooga Saturday. I'm David Jackson, and that's your look around the mountain.
Around the Mountain, presented by the Yosef Club. This is the Appalachian IMG Sports Network.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant delivers better gas or diesel mileage, longer transmission life, and cleans and protects your engine at the molecular level. Z-Max simply saves you money and time on expensive engine repairs or replacements. If it's a lawnmower or a backhoe, a new car or your old pickup, Z-Max it. Z-Max even counteracts the effects of ethanol. Z-Max Micro Lubricant. There's nothing else like it at all auto supply stores and ZMAX.com.
Hey guys, this is David Glenn. Be sure to stay tuned for The Pulse with Chris Allison and Bobby Brzezinski at 4 p.m., providing you with the latest on the Carolina Panthers, Charlotte Bobcats, and Charlotte 49ers. ESPN 730, your Charlotte home for sports.
And welcome back to The Bottom Line. Lanny Ford, Al Gardner, Stuart Davis behind the glass, Dr. Bill Therfelder with us as well. I want to thank Dizzy Grant for coming in from the Harlem Globetrotters. If for no other reason, Globetrotters are very entertaining. But, boy, if they've got guys like that on that team, what that guy can teach you about the way he looks at life and how he measures his successes, and he understands that you get opportunities, that you may not get that opportunity again. You've got to make the most of it, and you got to be positive about it. And I really appreciate him.
Seemed like a really balanced guy.
I like a guy that's solid, that's got his head on his shoulders.
Yeah, we just took a photo with him and you, Dr. Therfelder. We've got to put this up on the web right here on our site. It's really fantastic.
You can send that to Bobby, and Bobby can get that put up here.
Photo courtesy of Stuart Davis.
Thank you, Stuart. Good job, buddy. Got this ball spinning perfectly.
Yeah, that's great. We're brought to you by Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Use Z-Max Micro Lubricant when you change your oil to extend the life of your car's engine. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Don't forget those Harlem Globetrotter tickets. We'll have those available tomorrow. We'll start giving those away. Shoot, we might even take a few of them up to the wine store and give them away.
That's a great idea. I think people would really enjoy that. Dr. Therfelder's book is called Less Than a Minute to Go. I can strongly recommend it. Go to Amazon.com, probably, Dr. Therfelder.
Yeah, that would be great. And if anybody would write a review for it, that'd be wonderful, too. I'd appreciate it.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a great idea. Andre Williams, when you were working with him, you talked about catching the ball. Did you get into his head at all?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. How do you separate out the mind, the body, and the spirit? I mean, you are all three things at the same fraction of a second. So sometimes for discussion, you know, you break these things out to talk about them. But the reality is you're all three at the same time. So a lot of times people say, well, you're just doing a physical drill with him. You're doing some ball drill. Well, didn't it take his mind to be able to do this ball drill? I mean, yes, he physically had to catch it, but mentally he had to get himself to a point that he could catch it. And then very quickly what happens, and I agree very much with Diddy, he's right on, that the physical is like ABC building blocks. Once you understand physiology, biomechanics, that's all simple. It's actually pretty easy. You just got to go do it. The deeper stuff, though, is the soul stuff. You know, it gets into the spiritual part of life. Like, what's your purpose? What are the stronger reasons for what you're doing? Why would you sacrifice? And those are the kinds of things that get you through and make you successful. I mean, I don't want to go too long here. Tell me if I am. But Andre Collins, I worked with Andre Collins, who was a world champion. I mean, he was in the Super Bowl. He's starting linebacker with the Washington Redskins back in the early 90s. And he went on after that, got sent to the Bengals, then to Chicago, and he was getting like junk plays. He was getting like 14, 15 plays a game, and they were like third down, fourth down kind of thing, you know. But Andre had learned to appreciate every play like it was the only one he'd ever had, and he was beyond grateful.
Every opportunity.
Every opportunity. And there was this one particular play where it really stood out for me. He was playing with the Ravens. It was a regular season game. He was only getting these few plays. Ball gets tipped at the line of scrimmage and is going towards the sideline. It is 15 or 20 yards from anybody. Andre sees that ball get tipped because he was so focused. He saw every detail. He saw the ball actually hit the guy's fingers. He started sprinting for this ball like you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, I'm watching it, right? And I'm thinking, well, no, nice way. Effort. Nice effort, yeah. Andre. I'm really glad you're going for this. But there's no way. Andre didn't let up. He caught that ball 2 inches off the turf and ran it back for a touchdown.
Oh, my.
And he ended up tying the Chicago Bears record that year for linebackers and in interceptions. He had 3 in the regular season. And he was only getting 12, 14, 15 plays a game. So what it points out, though, is it's this deeper stuff. The way he could take only getting those few plays is that he had learned that it wasn't just about the mental and physical. It was about the deeper things. You know, your ability to sacrifice, to see the worth in every single moment, every single opportunity you're given. He really made the most of what he had.
Well, and here's the thing, and if you go to a spiritual side and look at it, that's what life is. You're not guaranteed the next breath.
That's
so
right.
When you get this one, you make the most out of it.
Right.
Not just for you, but for everybody that you affect.
That's right.
I mean, that's what
Absolutely.
You have to do. And if you can take that approach, and that's not easy,
mm-hmm.
but if you can take that approach and that philosophy, you can be a much better person at everything that you do.
Right.
But it's a whole lot easier, you know, said than done.
And he became a leader, and, you know, just goes to show the kind of respect he gained from players. He's now director of the NFL Players, Retired Players Association.
Wow.
For the NFL Players Association.
Wow.
So, you know, great guy. But again, these are the kinds of things that I saw over my life working with athletes, is that it typically an athlete would come in and say, I got this one physical thing. Only this one thing I want you to help me with. You know, and you're looking at him saying, well, I see like 15 things you need help with, you know. And so you start with the one thing to give them, you know, but I'd always give them instantaneous proof that it wasn't just my words. I'm going to show you right now that you're going to get better. So Andre Williams comes in. Instantaneously, he sees he starts to improve on his receiving. Now, as soon as you do that with somebody, you know how this works, right? What else you got? You know,
yeah,
so suddenly,
yeah.
suddenly you're
giving these other problems.
Let me show you some other things, and then they're open to hearing more. And before you know it, it gets to the deeper things. And actually, it was in the I think the Sports Illustrated one, the article on this. The thing he told them that was most impressive out of the whole time, you're going to find this, it wasn't the receiving. He said, Dr. Bill told me when I first met him, the very first thing he said to me is that all of time is present to God. He has no past, he has no future. So to the degree I stay in the present moment is the degree I remain in perfect union with God. So when I'm performing at my best, I'm in perfect union with God. He goes, that was the biggest thing I got out of it. So I'm thinking he came to, you know, for receiving, but he left with something much more profound.
And he really listened. He listened to what you
listened.
Had to say.
I was amazed at how well he listened.
But that's where getting some gratification is not the word that I'm looking for, but when he gets some positive reinforcement immediately, then he puts more trust in you.
Right.
Then he's going to open himself up
right.
to other things because he got that positive reinforcement.
Right.
Dr. Fierfelder, you seem absolutely magic to a
I'm
guy
going
like
Dr.
me.
Bill because I'm really
You know what, Dr. Bill? Yeah, I'll call you Dr. Bill.
Okay,
you okay
wait.
With that?
No, wait. I am nothing. I know nothing. I have nothing. You know, standing next to God, I'm not bragging about a thing. You know, so anything I have, I'm a steward. We all are stewards. You know,
it's always the great ones who say stuff.
No,
like
but
that,
it's
I really
true.
Appreciate that.
It's true. I'm not
no.
making it up.
No. I know you believe that, and
yeah.
I really applaud that. I guess I wish you could rain some of your magic on the Panthers because it's a little off the topic, but I'm getting very concerned that they're letting this free agency thing get away from them. A lot of good names have left, some good potentials. I thought we were going to get guys like Hakeem Nicks. They're out of the picture being grabbed by other people. Just a general, I know this is a little bit off of where we are, but just since we have both you guys in the room, I got to ask as guys, how do you feel about the Panthers? Are you as concerned as I am? Mohsin Mohammed said we ought to be concerned.
You know, again, it goes back to, you know, sometimes you get all these big name people. I mean, look at even the NFL combine and the draft. Millions and millions and millions of dollars are being spent to say who are the guys you absolutely have to have. I don't know. There's a lot of busts, you know. I mean, look at some of the guys who make it that are fifth-round picks or didn't even get drafted, and they end up being the MVP of the Super Bowl. I mean, so, yes, they're going to err on the side of typically knowing who are the right people to bring in, but there's no guarantee, you know. I mean, I look at...
Go back 2 years. I think it's 2 years. Philadelphia, the dream team. They had the best people that they could get with Michael Vick, and they had the receivers, they had the defense. They were a bust. Yeah.
Yep, right.
I mean, a lot of that goes back, and this is where everybody seems to be forgetting. A lot of it goes back to chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, you can have the greatest athletes, but if there's no chemistry there, you can't get it done. Back to what you're saying. There's a whole lot of other things that don't work their way out to just the best player at the best position that can accomplish that. There's other things.
Well, you bring up a great point. And one good example, whether you like them or don't, you know, look at Bill Belichick and look at the Patriots.
Yes.
They are known for not having any name players, you know, and they bring them in and they tend to develop them and suddenly they become superstars. But again, it's back to finding the chemistry. Now, you got obviously these are all talented people. You're not at the NFL level.
Hey,
you
it's
don't
a
have
whole
some talent.
Chain.
But he seems to be able to pick out and have an eye for people, bring them in, put them in the right spot, because up till then maybe they were in the wrong spot. He puts them in the right spot, they develop those skills, and before you know it, they're in the Super Bowl.
One quick question. I've always said this. I'll take half the athlete with the right attitude that I can mold than the complete athlete that I can't talk to.
Look at Wes Welker.
There you go.
People could argue about his speed, they could argue about his size, and he's
but he was willing to
receivers.
Do what he
That's
what,
right.
what he was coachable.
That's
you
right.
Gotta have
Real quick, who's your final four?
Oh boy. Everybody's going for Florida. I'm probably going Florida. Not that I'm a Florida fan, but I'm...
So you like the seeds as they've unveiled?
Oh, no, I don't, actually.
Really? Really?
Well, I think there was so much parity. That's what everybody's talking about this year. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think anybody can get knocked off in this thing.
I think 64 should have been put in a fishbowl and just draw them out.
They could have. They could have almost.
Put them on the board and let them go.
NC State got in there completely stunned. This is going to be... I knew I heard the music. I hate that our time ran out. I feel like we just got started.
I gave him an open invitation. He can always come up.
And please take us up on that.
You guys
because
are great.
We got a wonderful book, less than a minute to go, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, and Amazon.com is the place to find him and his wonderful work. And believe me, you're not going to be able to put it down. Thank you so much for making time
Al, you're
for us.
Great. And Lenny, thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite
and
welcome.
Stuart, thanks.
It'll wrap it
thanks,
up here Al. On the bottom line. The A-team's up next. Bobby Rosinski, Chris Allison, and the one, the only, the Duke Puker, Stuart Davis. Have a good day, everybody.
ESPN 730 Charlotte. Your home for national, regional, and local sports talk with Mike and Mike. The Herd with Colin Cowherd. The David Glenn Show. The Pulse. And the Bottom Line. Your home for Charlotte sports. ESPN 730.